This podcast is intended for investment professionals only. All investing involves risk.
What if the safest thing a charity could do with investments had the potential to be the riskiest choice? That's the question at the heart of today's conversation, and the answer might surprise you. This is LNG Talks. I'm Sharka Halas, content manager. And with me today are Nancy Kilpatrick, head of charities, and Andre Pioch, fund manager and head of risk targeted funds. We're going to cover the investment risks that we think are hiding in plain sight for charities now, namely the risk of being too cautious and the risk of overcorrecting. We'll also talk about what the macro picture looks like this year and what charities can practically do to make their assets work harder for the people who depend on them. Nancy, Andre, great to have you with us. Let's start with a number that I think will stop a few trustees in their tracks. Nancy, UK charities hold nearly $30 billion in cash, with over $10 billion sitting on balance sheets for longer than a whole year's spending. Why is that a problem?
Thanks, Sharka. Well, according to Charities Commission data, which takes into account charities with income over 500k per annum, cash represents a distinctly large proportion of the sector's holdings. While cash balances maintained for a specific near-term spend is understandable, as you say, over £10 billion of the sector's cash remains untouched after a year. This is quite a significant and quantifiable problem. And I guess the instinct is understandable. Trustees don't want to risk losing money that they've earmarked for their beneficiaries, but we would suggest that excessive caution itself is in itself a risk. By that, we mean that cash that quietly loses real value over time equally fails beneficiaries just as surely as a bad investment might do too. So therefore, what would appear to be no risk actually has implicit longer-term risks due to the impact of inflation, which I know Andre will come to talk about. And we would coin this type of behaviour, the concept of holding cash longer-term for safety reasons, reckless prudence. That is, acting with good intent, but creating foreseeable but avoidable harm.
Andre, what does holding too much cash actually cost a charity?
So this is something that we can quantify, and we can take an example of, say, a charity wanting to invest back in 2000. They have £100 and they put it in a standard sterling bank account. Now, if they reinvest all their interest today, that would be worth £135. Now, of course, that's a nominal amount. If you unfortunately adjust it for inflation, in real terms, that £100 suddenly became £72. Now, we know a lot of charities often have objectives that are actually linked to inflation. So they want their investments to at least catch up with inflation, if not exceed it. And one common objective is to target a long-term return of CPI plus 4%. Now, if that £100 invested back in 2000 was to catch up with that CPI plus 4% target, today, they would have to see over £500 on their account, way more than that £135 that the bank account could have generated. So as Nancy mentioned, you might think you're investing in a safe asset by putting money away in cash, but unfortunately, because of that impact of inflation, you may be faced with nearly 20 or 25% loss in real terms.
Okay, Nancy, in practice, when you sit down with charity trustees, how do you frame that conversation given that prudence could actually be viewed as reckless?
Yeah, thanks, Sharka. Well, we sometimes all conflate nominal safety in that cash doesn't go down with real safety in that purchasing power is preserved. And actually, money illusion is one of the common behavioral biases. The number on the balance sheet looks really stable, but what it can actually buy is quietly eroding, as Andre just covered. And we would point back to the Charity Commission's own updated CC14 investment guidance, which states that investments should further the charity's purposes. And we would suggest that preserving the real value of these investments is just as important a foundation to build on as it is to ensure that near-term spending has the cash available. And what we hear from our charity clients is that they approach it as a fiduciary reframe. The duty of prudence doesn't necessarily mean the duty to hold cash. It means acting in the best interests of beneficiaries, both now and into the future. And we would say that getting the time horizon right is really key to solving the exam question when it comes to setting your charity's investment policy.
So getting the time horizon right is one thing. Is there another immediate practical first step before you can look at a broader strategic overhaul?
So thinking about your own spending requirements, apportion time horizons to these balances out the need for more immediate spending with funds that might not be required quite so soon. One of the ways that we do this on behalf of our clients is something called cash laddering. So this is almost a tiered system of shorter dated strategies that combines cash, but puts cash to work at different points on the sort of risk and return spectrum without sacrificing the need for liquidity. So the structure of something like this might look like money market funds. So trying to enhance your cash balance return that's more immediately required. So potentially with a time horizon of between 0 to 6 months, you'll enhance your return a bit more than you would held in a bank account, but provides daily liquidity and that capital stability. So that pound that you're relying on. Combined potentially also with liquidity plus strategies that look more along the sort of 6 to 12 month time horizon. So giving you a bit more from that cash balance. And then all the way up to potentially absolute return bond strategies. So strategies that look at giving you a bit more return over a 12-month period, targeting cash plus about 1% to 4%. Now, these are relatively more stable strategies, but sort of enhance that risk and return spectrum. And the key benefit about thinking about this in this way is to improve the real return on the longer term reserves that a charity genuinely needs to keep liquid. And as you say, Sarkar, it's a stepping stone to a wider strategic thinking. Once you've got your operational cash well structured, and you know what you need the cash there for, trustees can then think more deliberately about what the longer term strategic portfolio should and could look like.
Andre, building on that strategic perspective, global equities have historically delivered inflation plus 4%. Could the answer be just to put everything in equities?
So it's true. When you look at performance of indices like MSCI World, indeed, they delivered just over CPI plus 4% for UK investors since 2000. But of course, we know that past performance isn't a guide to the future. And we also know that a lot of charities, while they have that long-term objective, do care how we actually get there, what that path will be from today to those long-term goals, because of their liquidity needs. And sometimes those liquidity needs could be unpredictable, some new grant commitments or any fundraising shortfalls. So the problem that charities could find themselves in is when these cash commitments suddenly coincide with a market fall, because they could then become forced sellers at depressed prices, even if these drawdowns are temporary. And we can look at the data. Over the last 25 years, when we see what actually happened, the worst drawdown that equities experienced was in 2008 on the back of the global financial crisis, when they fell by 50%. That was quite extreme. But on average, for other calendar years, that drop within each year was around 16%. So some charities might simply want to reduce their potential drawdowns relative to equities. And it all really comes down to their risk appetite and that long-term objective. So what kind of real return they're looking from their investments, and what kind of drawdown or what kind of risk they're ready to stomach along the way. So it's not just about the expected return that matters. It's also that sequence of returns, the path that charities will be on when on their own journey.
So how should charity trustees actually be thinking about this? If too little risk maybe erodes real value and too much risk may result in larger drawdowns, how are you framing this conversation?
So we often think about it in terms of three steps. First, what kind of long-term return the charity needs? What kind of risk that long-term return then implies in terms of what kind of risk they need to be prepared to take? And then what can they do to smooth that journey as much as practically possible? And diversification here is really your best friend, because it prevents a situation where you as an investor need to spend all your days trying to predict what happens next, because you have a portfolio that is actually prepared to withstand a range of possible outcomes ahead. And it's not betting just on one single view. Because emergency grant commitments, unexpected shortfalls in fundraising income, or any governance decisions that could force asset liquidations, all these things happen. And charities in those circumstances really need to rely on their investments, no matter what that future might bring. And I do want to stress, it's definitely not just about being clever. It's just about being systematic, well-diversified, and just not betting too much on a single company, single country, or single asset class. And last thing I'll mention is also just keep very close eye on costs. Because for long-term investors, unfortunately, costs are the only guarantee in the world of investing. So we want to keep those investment solutions cost-effective because they would compound over long-term.
Okay, let's shift gears here a little bit. What are some of the current risks in the macro environment that trustees should be watching, Andre?
So the first thing I'll mention is concentration. And here, charities often feel like a little bit stuck between the rock and the hard place, kind of the concentration of their active holdings, where active managers might hold concentrated positions in individual companies, and the concentration of traditional index funds, which over time became increasingly weighted towards just a single country, the United States. Because US weight in traditional global equity index is reaching 70% today. Fortunately, over last decade, many new index funds have been launched. So charities could actually still benefit from the simplicity of index building blocks, but rather than just buy one global index tracker, spread their risk across a number of them to explicitly target that issue of US concentration and maybe just bring that US weight down a little bit. They can do it with standard funds, and they can do it even with ESG tilted index funds if they want to provide more of that ESG benefit to their exposure. So that's one, that idea of concentration and what we can do about that. Very important given how uncertain and unpredictable the world has become. And number two, inflation. That doesn't go away. The US wage inflation and the services inflation today is somewhere between 3 and 4%. The recent events in Middle East could put more upward pressure on inflation too. And when that happens, sometimes that unexpected rise in inflation could also mean that equities and bonds start to move together, or the correlation between them is rising. Now, that could reduce the diversification benefits that trustees like to have in their multi-asset funds. But fortunately, even in those circumstances, there are alternative assets that they can rely on. 2022 was a very good example of that because equities and bonds did start to commove more. So they were going up together and going down together. Yet you still had assets like commodities or infrastructure that did well even in such an unusual market environment. So it really comes down to that approach of prepare, don't predict. Don't try to spend all your days trying to predict a single scenario ahead and then put or bet everything on that one scenario. Just prepare your portfolio for a number of outcomes. Use diversification for your benefit so that you are prepared for whatever might happen next.
Nancy, Andre, for a trustee or a finance director listening today who maybe feels that their investment strategy isn't working hard enough, what are some of the key two or three things that they could do first? Nancy, if you can go first.
Sure. We would say audit your cash. How much are you holding and why? Is it truly for operational liquidity, which is absolutely necessary? Or can some of those be excess reserves, which could potentially erode the real value? As we discussed, I think even moving to a simple cash ladder is an immediate improvement on some of the returns that you might get on the shorter term assets. But overall, it is a chance to pause, to take breath and step back and think, does your overall investment policy reflect a clear real return objective, including parts of your cash balances that may or may not have formed part of that longer term strategy? And do your actual liquidity needs meet your true investment policy? I guess that's the thing that we would say. Talk to your managers as well. Engage with us. We're here to help.
Andre?
And outside of that audit of cash, I think it would be good to check what kind of concentration risk you're currently running in your portfolio. Are you comfortable with that level of single company exposure or single country exposure? And are there simple ways to address that? And if it's helpful, remember our mantra of prepare, don't predict, because the markets are inherently uncertain. And none of us here is just doing it just to be clever than others. It's really just to be ready, be prepared, and build portfolios that are well-structured and diversified so that charities can pursue their long-term objectives and get there through a range of different market environments and different scenarios.
Nancy, Andre, thank you. It's been a valuable conversation. What strikes me is how often the risks charities could face aren't the dramatic ones that kind of make headlines, but the more quieter ones, the slow erosion of purchasing power, the portfolio structure that has the potentially to become a problem at the wrong time. It sounds like both could be genuinely solvable, however. For our listeners out there, thank you for joining us on LNG Talks, and we'll see you next week with a new episode.
As a reminder, this podcast is intended for investment professionals only and shouldn't be shared with a non-professional audience. The views expressed in this podcast are those of L&G's Asset Management Division, as at the date of publication. This podcast is for informational purposes only, and we're not soliciting any action based on it. The information discusses general market, economic or political issues, or industry or sector trends. It does not constitute research or investment, legal or tax advice. It is not recommendation or advertisement to buy or sell securities or pursue a particular investment strategy. Assumptions, opinions, and estimates are provided for illustrative purposes only. There is no guarantee that any forecast made will come to pass. No party shall have any right of action against L&G in relation to the accuracy or completeness of the information contained in this podcast. Where this podcast contains third-party information, the accuracy or completeness of such information cannot be guaranteed, and we accept no responsibility or liability in respect of such information, not for distribution to any person in any jurisdiction where such distribution would be contrary to local law or regulations. Copyright 2025. Legal and General Investment Management Limited is authorised and regulated by the Financial Conduct Authority. Unless otherwise stated, references herein to L&G, we and us are meant to capture the global conglomerate that includes, in the European Economic Area, LG Managers Europe Limited, authorised and regulated by the Central Bank of Ireland as a UCITS management company pursuant to European Communities Undertaking for Collective Investment in Transferable Securities Regulations 2011 as amended, and as an Alternative Investment Fund Manager pursuant to the European Union Alternative Investment Fund Managers Regulations 2013 as amended. In the USA, Legal and General Investment Management America, Inc., a US SEC regulated investment advisor. In Japan, Legal and General Investment Management Japan, KK, a Japan FSA registered investment management company. In Hong Kong, issued by Legal and General Investment Management Asia Limited, which is licensed by the Securities and Futures Commission. And in Singapore, issued by LGIM Singapore Pte Limited, company registration number 20223187 6W, which is regulated by the Monetary Authority of Singapore. For full terms and conditions, please visit our website. To find more content, you can check us out on LinkedIn or on our website.